Very early in my career in aging, I worked at one of the first adult day centers in the country, which was in Honolulu, if you're looking for warmth and inspiration this morning. The year was 1973. It was 40 years ago. Two people I met there, who by then were in their late 80s, stand out as mentors for me as I have traveled my own journey of living and aging. And I would like to introduce them to you. Hinata Nishimura arrived in Hawaii in the early 20th century when she was 17 years old. She was a picture bride from a poor rural area of Japan. She brought with her a small bag and a fuzzy picture of a man from a nearby village whom her parents had arranged for her to marry. When her ship arrived in Hawaii, she met her husband for the first time at the docks. He didn't look much like the picture she held in her hand. For one thing, he was much older, and his clothes looked nothing like the nice suit shown in the picture. Already legally married to him in Japan, but not in the United States, she participated in a mass marriage ceremony on the docks with her new husband and dozens of other picture bride couples. She was frightened, but also excited. Her new married life in Hawaii began as one of hard work and meager accommodations on a sugarcane plantation on Kauai. When I met her at the daycare center so many years later, Mrs. Nishimura was the 86-year-old mother of five and grandmother of 14. Among her children were a lawyer, a doctor, and a teacher. She knew she had been fortunate. She had had a happy marriage and a good life in Hawaii. I once asked her, though, how she got through those first hours and days as a picture bride arriving in Hawaii. She looked at me with a big smile and said, "Plenty of sake." She loved coming to the day center in Honolulu, sitting with the other Japanese women of her Issei generation. And I was very grateful to have met her toward the end of her life journey and to learn how the story of this picture bride turned out. Another story of unexpected life turns. Lucille Duncan arrived in Hawaii and at the day center in quite a different way. At 89, she reminded me of my grandmother's back on the mainland. Mrs. Duncan had grown up in the Midwest and moved with her husband to California for business when they married. She raised a daughter and had a typical middle-class life in San Luis Obispo for over 60 years. Her husband eventually died, and her daughter moved to Hawaii. Mrs. Duncan lived on in her California community with church, friends, and home. But one day at age 86, Mrs. Duncan woke up feeling weak and confused. She was in a nursing home and she couldn't figure out why she was there. Nothing looked familiar. She soon learned that she had had a stroke 9 months earlier and had been in a coma ever since. Waking fully from the coma, she fully learned that her house and belongings had been sold, her daughter had taken over power of attorney and guardianship for her, and she now had to leave the nursing home because she was no longer physically in need of skilled nursing care. Her savings were long gone. Having no other choice, Mrs. Duncan moved to Maui to live with her daughter, who was struggling with her own emotional and financial issues. The arrangement did not work out for long, and Mrs. Duncan found her way to Honolulu by herself and to a boarding house for older women. She was lonely, afraid, and had only a small income that covered her rent and essentials. Eventually, she was referred to the Adult Day Center where I worked. She reached out to make new friends and did all she could to build a new life for herself within the center. She and I became especially close while I was there. I saw and spoke with these two women, among many others, every day on my job as the social services coordinator at the day center. I saw them enjoying each other's company, even with language, cultural, and physical barriers, such as deafness and low vision. They had each learned to be flexible and resilient with the abrupt changes life had brought them. They each taught me to look more deeply at the way people are shaped by their lives and their stories. When I reflect on my own life's journey, I hope to find the courage and wisdom to dance with the unplanned and unexpected changes I know will be coming, and to find community and companionship in my present situation, whatever that may be. Thank you for these lessons, my two dear old friends.
As we grow older, our perspective on aging changes. I know that when I was younger, I viewed 60 as ancient. Now that I'm past that mark, 60 seems youthful. You know what I mean? Many seasoned citizens truly enjoy the journey, and I've had some beautiful models in my life. I remember my grandfather's joy in living, his love of family and music, singing and playing an auto harp on the back porch. He was the best storyteller. He was totally enjoying the journey. Unfortunately, he succumbed to the ravages of Alzheimer's, and I hated seeing him heavily medicated and so unlike the man he was. That was an image that stuck, but it also inspired my life's path, my career in geriatric physical therapy and gerontology. I saw the midlife transition that my parents experienced when they became caregivers, not only of six kids, but for my 84-year-old grandmother, who broke her hip and was deemed too old for surgical repair. Talk about age bias. Regardless of physical limitations, she still enjoyed life's journey. She moved in with us, became a vibrant and integral part of our family, contributing in many and any way she could. She loved to laugh, tell stories, cuddle with her grandchildren, and just be present. And there was always room for that little cookie. She lived to be 97. She was my spiritual sage, Grandma Anna. Grandma Edna lived independently, though alone, in a farmhouse where she had raised her eight children. Most folks would want to stay in their own homes, but Grandma requested admission to a local nursing home because all her friends were there. Certainly, this shows how important friends and family are. She thrived in the nursing home. She took care of her friends, even when she herself was aging physically. And she started a daily morning radio talk show over the facility loudspeaker. Probably inspired Oprah. Grandma enjoyed the journey. I read a book called Coming to Age, The Croning Years and Late Life Transformation by Jean Pratt. And Jane Pratt writes of the spiritual challenges that arise when we are sojourning through our life. Each age has its own spiritual and practical challenges, as she states. In relationship to older age, she states, quote, "In old age, we create new spiritual outlooks and that serve the changes happening in our families and bodies and our lives. And old age brings wisdom," unquote. Successful aging seems to be the ability to transcend or get beyond the culture-driven youth obsession and accept the journey into the last phase of life on its own terms. If we are open to it, it is a time when we really begin to know in our bodies and spirits who we are. We realize that we are going to die, even when we still feel relatively fit and productive. We know that our future is getting nearer and that death is real. We have the opportunity to review our lives a chance to contemplate dying and to appreciate life in a richer day-by-day way, enjoying each moment. At the same time, there are plenty of older individuals who don't want to spend all their time plumbing the depths for meaning. These folks have a kind of no-nonsense, practical, in-this-world approach to life, which provides them great comfort. They are aging vitally, they're vitally engaged, and rather than attempting to put this experience into words, they simply live the experience. These days, 60 and 70 is no longer old. Baby boomers are among the first generation that have 20 or more years of neither middle or old age. We take much longer to come of age. In a wonderful book by Carolyn Helbrin called The Last Gift of Time, Life Beyond 60, she states that, quote, impersonation of youth is unlikely to provide us with much meaning and purpose, unquote. She describes a new appreciation of life that is deeper in terms of awareness and sensitivity. Interestingly, Helbern said she would take her own life when she turned 70, just like Maud from Harold and Maude, going out when the going was good. To her surprise, she found her 60s to be the happiest decade of her life. She's postponed her plan until another time. Of course, keeping the option open. Successful agers appreciate the vital importance of younger friends' wisdom, staying connected with and growing with the times, engaging in life, and developing new physical and mental skills. It is good not to deny or try to remedy age. I sense more and more surely from the experiences of those who have presented today that we each are somewhere along the path of accepting a new reality. Some are a long way from the last developmental stage, some in the midst of it, and perhaps some have already arrived. The new reality, affirmation of age on its own terms. Seeing oneself as seasoned, embracing the journey despite the challenges, and acquiring the wisdom that enables us to face and deal with each step along the way. Thank you.
In closing, these words by Maya Angelou. The ship of my life may or may not be sailing on calm and amiable seas. The challenging days of my existence may or may not be bright and promising. Stormy or sunny days, glorious or lonely nights, I maintain an attitude of gratitude. If I insist on being pessimistic, there is always tomorrow. Today I am blessed.